fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Android, Spotify, or the Five Reasons YouTube channel on Apple Podcasts. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, taking suggestions for episodes from there directly throughout the month of August. Also, you can communicate with us and Heat fans all day long. We do Q&As. We give you bonus information, behind-the-scenes information, and also we put some of our reports there first. So check it out. Link right there in the description on the YouTube channel and on the podcast feed. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, includes Better Edge. This is legal sports betting. It's a social betting marketplace. What's the difference between this and the other books? There's no VIG. That means you're not just giving away money to the house for free. Also, you can find the line that you want in their marketplace. And if you use the code 5RSN, that's the number 5RSN, you get $20 to play. So go to betteredge.com, enter the code 5RSN, get your $20, and give it a shot today. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Check the floor plan, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. I got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. What we're going to do today, and then we'll do this in another episode as well, we're going to split these East versus West, is now that the dust has settled on the offseason, everybody's pivoting towards training camp, we're going to look at what teams actually did. So sometimes, you know, with these moves happen fast and furious, the draft, free agency, a few trades, but we're going to try to put this in some kind of perspective. And the thing we're going to try to do here is we got 15 teams. We're going to do 1 minute each. So we're going to clock this. We're going to go through these we're going to start alphabetical order from beginning to end. You guys can argue with us on Off the Floor if you don't agree, but we're going to grade the off seasons in terms of what these teams are trying to accomplish. Cause not every team is in the same position, but what they're trying to accomplish. So let's start, Alex, with the Atlanta Hawks. This offseason, of course, they had the number one overall pick. We'll talk about that. But the big move that they made was they traded DeJounte Murray in exchange for Dyson Daniels, E.J. Little, Larry Nance Jr., Cody Zeller. Here's the big thing. 2024 first-round pick, which is the Lakers' pick, and the least favorable 2027 first-round pick and a traded player exemption. With the exception of that, they didn't do a whole lot. Again, pivoting around Sarr, first-round pick, or the number one overall pick in the draft. Trae Young is still there. DeAndre Hunter is still there.
Well, they didn't get Sarr.
Well, they didn't get Sarr. I'm sorry. They didn't get Sarr. That's right. Why do I keep thinking that off the top of my head?
Okay. They got the other Frenchman. They got Zachary Risache, I think is how you pronounce his name.
Yeah, Risache. I'm sorry. Sarr went elsewhere, and, of course, he had an interesting summer league. Okay, so overall, grade the Hawks in terms of what they're trying to accomplish now.
Honestly, I think some people will be lower, but I would give it maybe a B minus probably. I think B minus is more where I'm at with them. Like, it's very underwhelming, and that's very Atlanta Hawks, right? But I do think, you know, they did make a big decision here, right? And I think that people had been calling for that. It's like it was obvious to anybody watching that the trade and DeJounte thing was not going, you know, as well as they expected it to. And I think people expected them to move off of at least one of them, if not both. And I think Trae is still young enough and obviously still good enough that he's worth keeping around with their young core. It's not like an amazing trade package that they got in return, but I do think like Dyson Daniels is a good young player who is an awesome guard defender, right? So I think that's going to be a useful piece who can fit in their young core and help immediately. I think Risache, like, people have been really down on him and this draft, like at the top, right? But, you know, that's still a number one pick who seems like, if everything goes his way, is a perfect fit alongside Trey as far as, like, a wing who doesn't need to dominate the ball and who has upside there as, like, a, you know, two-way wing. And I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar or anything, but I do think he has the upside to be a very good player in the NBA at worst. And, you know, we'll see if it pans out. But I do think they did an okay job as far as, like, you know, pivoting to, you know, a younger core and just finally making a decision there. Because I think it would have been worse for them to just, you know, keep things the way it was.
I would say C plus. I agree with splitting up the backcourt was time to do that. I'm not sure they split it up with the right guy, honestly. And maybe I'm just not as much of a Trey guy as others. But again, it was clear that DeJounte was going to get moved. He got moved. They got decent value for him. But that roster is still, they're still kind of in the middle. Like, I don't really know what they're trying to accomplish. It looks to me like playing at best. I'll say C plus. All right. The would Celtics.
I'm sorry. Really quick. Would you be,
I don't want to spend 15 minutes on the Hawks. I don't want to.
No, miss, saying, I wouldn't be the surprised.
Hawks deserve 15 minutes.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if that's a team where, like, they shut down Trey in January, you know? And then that's it.
I can see it. Okay, let's get to the Celtics. Not a lot. Okay. Basically, signed Derek White to a veteran extension. Mm-hmm. Signed Jason Tatum to an extension. They'd already signed Drew. I mean, they're basically bringing back the same team.
Yeah, running back is positive for them.
Right. Right. So BB plus. I mean, there's nothing negative here.
Pretty much, they did what they're supposed to. They brought back their, you know, some of their main guys there, and that's about it. I thought, you know, they drafted Baylor Shireman, who the Heat liked. So, you know, B+, I think it's fair, yeah.
All right, the Brooklyn Nets. I like what they did, actually. So let's get to the specifics of this. So here's what Brooklyn did. They signed Claxton to a multi-year contract. Again, this is a franchise that is, they needed to blow it up in some regard. I mean, there's just, they didn't have enough picks. They didn't really have a number one guy. They traded Bridges, and again, the least favorable second round pick, to the Knicks for Bojan Bogdanovic, Shake Milton, a 2025 first round pick, a conditional 2025 first round pick, a 2025 second round pick, a 2027 first round pick, a swap of 2028 first round picks, a 2029 first round pick, a 2031 first round pick, and multiple traded player exceptions. And then they also acquired Zaire Williams and a traded player in exchange for, and I can't pronounce that, Mamadi Diak. I can't pronounce his name. I'm sorry. I you know how bad I am at that kind of stuff. Anyway, the big thing is the Mikal Bridges trade. I mean, he's not a superstar. So we don't know what they're going to do with these picks, but I give him an A- for unloading him for that much. Like, I don't, he's a good player. I think on a really good team, he's your third best guy. I think you might be able to compete for something as your second best guy. But he's not a build-around player. We saw that. His efficiency went down the more that he was featured over time. He got off to that hot start with them. He killed the Heat twice in a couple of games, not this past season, but the season ago, a season beyond that. That hurt the Heat in the standings. We were talking about those Nets games. But, I mean, the Knicks overpaid, in my view. So I'm going to give the Nets an A-.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the Nets pretty much got the most value they could possibly get out of Mikal Bridges in return for him. And I like him as a player, you know, and I think the Knicks, it's a great fit for them. We're going to talk about them, but they did overpay. And I think, you know, the Nets just got great value for them. Like you said, they were going nowhere fast with what they had. And he seems like somebody who would help, you know, a winning team right now. Well, we know that already. He was on a, you know, it was a big piece on a finals trip. And I do think now he's going to be in the right role for the Knicks. And despite that, like, they overpaid. The Nets got great value for him. I think there's still a couple pieces they could maybe flip if they wanted to, you know, for some winning teams. So, yeah, I will give them probably – I think A- is about right. I think you could say higher, too, just because they got the – I don't think you could ask for more for what you got in return for Bridges.
No, I agree. And it doesn't mean they're going to be any good this year. They're going to be awful. Yeah. But this is the kind of restocking trade they needed to make. All right, let's go to the Charlotte Hornets. This trade that was made on July 6th, And I'm trying to track it on Real GM, but I mean, it basically is like six paragraphs long. I mean, this was the trade that included Buddy Hield, Clay Thompson, a whole bunch of different guys. We're in this thing. You know the one that I'm talking about. What actually ended up in Charlotte? Okay.
Yeah.
Josh Green, Reggie Jackson, a 2029 second round pick, a 2030 second round pick. I'm just looking at, like, did they do anything? Like, Taj Gibson signed a contract with them. I mean, he's 85 years old, and they re-signed Miles Bridges, which was controversial. And then they ended up waiving Reggie Jackson anyway. Afterwards, like, I don't even know. I mean, is it incomplete? Like, I don't even know what to make of them. Are they going to look any different next year than they look this year?
No, I think, like, actually, in all seriousness, like, they needed a vet like Taj Gibson, not for the floor, but just like,
yeah,
they needed a vet in the room. So, I actually think that's okay for them. Josh Green, you know, he's an okay young player, you know, two-way guy. Like, I think that's decent. I think the moves they made to acquire in the season, earlier in the season, to acquire Micić, who we just saw for Serbia, he had a nice productive season. I think, like, you know, they were starting to look a little bit more competitive, but they're going to be bad. Like, there's no doubt about it. I think when you look at the teams in the NBA now, with all the parity, right, the teams that aren't, like, there's so many good teams, but the teams that aren't good are pretty much bad, other than, like, maybe the Hawks and the Bulls, who are going to be the true, like, you know, very mediocre teams. I think this is one of those easily bad teams. Unless, you know, maybe they get a full season of LaMelo Ball and he looks fantastic now that he's wearing ankle braces, right? But, no. In all seriousness, I think you could give them like a B- for this. It's just a very underwhelming.
I give him an I for irrelevant, because right
maybe
now
lower for re-signing Miles Bridges.
Yeah, like I said, I for irrelevant. They signed 34-year-old Seth Curry. I mean, I'm looking at what they did.
Trey Mann was a good pickup for them during the season when they traded Hayward. But that ended up being a great move. Yeah.
No, but last year I liked him when they got him. There's like some pieces to work with there, but do you trust Ball to be healthy? And here's the other thing: Bridges, even putting the off court stuff aside, he didn't look like the same player to me when he came back. He looked like prior.
Maybe less.
Like
missing a lot.
Maybe less. This is a good exercise, because I think what you're saying is absolutely right. There are just some teams that are downright awful. And I think Charlotte's going to be one of them. So I'll say I for irrelevant. Let's go to the Bulls. The big move there was DeRozan in the three-way deal. Here was that actual trade. Harrison Barnes and a swap of 2031 first round picks were acquired by the Spurs. DeRozan and a traded player exception were acquired by the Kings in exchange for Harrison Barnes, Chris Duarte, a 2025 second round pick, a 2028 second round pick, swap of 2031 first round picks in cash. Duarte, so this is basically what went to the Bulls. Chris Duarte has now been moved twice already, right?
Yep.
He was a first round pick. He actually had a decent game against the Heat at one point, but it just looks like he's destined to be one of these guys that bounces around. Mm-hmm. Chris Duarte, a 2025 second round pick, a 2028 second round pick, cash, and a TP acquired by the Bulls. I mean, again, I mean, they lost DeRozan, and we can talk about how they were never going anywhere with him on a huge contract at his age. And he ended up signing for roughly $25 million a year over 3 years. By the way, the Heat were never really in on him for anything beyond the $5.2 million exception. They were in on that trade we talked about. And there are some specifics I've gotten into in some other places, but they were not in on DeRozan, not at that number. They if he had taken $5.2 million from them, they would have signed him instead of signing Hayward, which they went and did right after this. But I mean, what's the direction of the Bulls now? Like, they signed Patrick Williams to that contract extension, but and he has talent, but doesn't seem like they've ever wanted to feature him in any way. They've got LaVine coming back, I guess, to take DeRozan's shots. Kobe White had a breakout season last year, but again, is there any better than a 10 seed?
No, I think they're absolutely, like, when you look at wins and losses, they're going to have a worse season. I would be surprised, because I think people like underestimate, you know, how good DeRozan is. And by that, I mean, you know, he's not elite, he's not a superstar, but he's a great floor raiser, like, to have in the regular season. Like, I just think he can get you through close games. He's a great you know, guy who you can go to like every possession to create offense, even if it's not, you know, quote unquote, the most modern. He's really good at what he does and can get to the free throw line still. So like they're going to miss that badly. But I do think it's kind of similar to the Hawks thing. Not exactly the same, but it's like, you know, you made the decision because I think it just would have been kind of dumb. I mean, to try to, you know, run this back again with them. It's and, you know, like the return they got for him was OK at best, but it's also better than nothing, which could have happened. Right. So I think I'm OK with that if I'm a Bulls fan. And if I was a Bulls fan, I'd be really excited about their draft pick. I think he was a fifth pick. Yeah. Matas Buzelis, like he looks like he can be a good wing. Maybe not. You know, super.
Well, he was actually the 11th pick. But he.
Oh, yeah, I'm confusing him with the Pistons.
No, he looked better. I'll be honest on this. Like, I covered the draft in New York and forgot it the day after I left because it just was so low impact for a lot of these guys. Like that.
But like everything for them at this point is just like who, you know, who will play from these injured guys, like LaVine and Ball, like people talking about, oh, Lonzo, look at these videos. He looks good. And Zach LaVine, look how he's still dunking. If they can play, like that would obviously change things for them. But I just think at this point now, it's like, oh, look, they got a nice young player supposedly in Josh Giddey. Like, we'll see how that goes because he shot well in the Olympics. I'm not sure if that means he's going to shoot well in the NBA from three. Mm. But I just think like they've now committed.
I hated that trade, by the way. And so I'm gonna vote them down even further. They could have gotten more for Caruso during. They could have gotten more for Caruso during the regular season. I understand there's some upside. There's an upside play with Giddey, but again, he's not, like you said, he's not a good shooter. He shot better in the Olympics. They just have these guards. I don't know how they fit. And you mentioned Ball. If Ball comes back healthy, they ought to trade him. Because teams will trade for him, like there. If he shows that he's past the knee injury, I mean, he'd look great on the Heat. Honestly, I know Pat's always loved him, but I don't know. I mean, you got Io, you got Kobe, you got LaVine coming back. They were kind of better without LaVine last year. LaVine doesn't set a floor for them. You're right. DeRozan sets the floor for them. LaVine, I just don't know. He doesn't contribute to winning. In any significant way,
to be the number one option, and now he's going to be forced to go back to that role.
Correct. All right. So anyway, I'm saying C minus, D plus. I know that's best. All right. After the break, we'll get to the Cavs, some of the other teams in the Eastern Conference. I think as we go through this, people may not be quite as angry at the Heat because there are some other teams in the East that did some like I said, some weird things this offseason. I think more, with exception of, we'll talk about the Knicks but and Philadelphia, but those other teams, it does appear that a lot of this stuff shifted to the West. All right, I do want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friends over at Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. That's WCUFL.com. They'll handle it every step of the way from the leak all the way through. Of course, you want to patch the leaks as quickly as you can so you don't have the damage. But if you do have the damage, they'll work with you on inspecting, testing, evaluating, and documenting the affected areas. So if you're a home or business owner, reach out to Water Cleanup of Florida. Michael Robert and his team based in Boca Raton service the entire Tri-County area. 100, actually more than 100, five-star reviews on Google. So reach out to them, WCUFL.com. That's WCUFL.com. If you've got the schmutz, they got the guts. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I've given the Cleveland Cavaliers like an A-minus this offseason just because they re-signed everybody. I mean, they kept Donovan.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the big question. Now it was also Mobley and Allen both on extensions. Like, they've locked into their core now. They didn't end up trading Garland, even though there were some rumors about the fact that maybe he wanted that, or his clutch camp wanted that, because if they were going to keep Mitchell. I still think they needed to add a piece somewhere, and I'm still not sold on the Mitchell Garland or the Mobley Allen duos. But they got Strus last offseason, right? Now, what's Okoro's status? Is he still there? He's a free agent, right? Oh, he's still there? They re-signed him? I'm sorry. I don't remember them re-signing. I don't know if he was under contract or not.
I think he's there. I think he got re-signed. I got to double check. I thought he did, but maybe I'm imagining that.
Yeah, that one I don't remember off the top of my head. But if you go to these Cleveland, because I don't see, let's see. Oh, Kuro, no, he became a free agent on July 1st. I think he's still a free agent.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, like, he's going to be a good late add to a team.
That sucks that they lost him, because I thought, like, you know, he's not perfect, but he was a rotation player for them.
He was also a high first round pick.
No, yeah, he was. You know, he didn't pan out for where he was taken, but just losing him for nothing kind of sucks if you're a Cavs fan.
Well, how would you grade them? Basically just bringing everybody back. And they changed coaches. So that's, I mean, they went from Bickerstaff to Atkinson. I think Kenny's a good coach.
I think I would actually give him a B here. You know, okay. Good job to them for bringing back their guys, their main guys, but you know, it's just very underwhelming. You know, I guess you could say B+ if you want to include, like, taking Jalen Tyson 23rd. I thought he was a pretty good prospect, and they might get some good value out of him, but that's not going to be like the piece. You know what I mean? Maybe he could be a great pick for all I know, but he's kind of like a guard who can kind of play one or the two. And I don't know how much he's going to help right away. Like, I'd like the pick, but it's just not enough for me to give him an A.
All right, let's get to the Detroit Pistons. We mentioned Bickerstaff.
Awesome.
Well, he replaced Monty Williams. Monty ran off with a lot of money. I'm trying to make sense of this July 6th trade. There were a couple of them. Oh, God. So what do we even do with this? I didn't even know. I forgot Quentin Grimes was on the Pistons, actually, but that was part of that.
No, he's not anymore.
No, he's not. I know, but it's funny because he was the piece that the Knicks didn't want to trade to get Mitchell, and now he's bounced around twice. Okay. I'm looking at this roster. Is Tim Hardaway Jr. still on the team? They did not cut him loose, right?
I think he's gone.
Hold on.
I'm sorry. I might be misremembering, but I thought they got rid of him.
No, this was one of these. No, well, hold on a second.
He's on the Pistons, isn't he?
No, that's what I mean. We're talking about the Pistons. Yes, that's what I mean.
I thought you asked me if the Mavs had moved off of him. Okay,
No. Okay, so Hardaway's out. Yeah, because Hardaway's on the Pistons. I always got to check with these trades because you never know if a guy's going to be cut loose, but he wasn't. All right, so they renounced their rights to, like, guys like Fournier, Taj Gibson, etc. They made the coaching change. They signed Cade Cunningham to the rookie scale extension. They signed Malik Beasley away from Milwaukee. And they signed Fontecchio, who I think we both like, to a multi-year contract. That was a good ad by him. He killer. And they have Tim Hardaway Jr. now, which is basically empty calories.
You mentioned Malik Beasley.
I did.
Okay, sorry. I've been looking up the Pistons roster.
I just don't know what to do with this either, because it's like, to me, it's okay. Is Bickerstaff gonna? Because a lot of Pistons fans were unhappy with the way that Monty managed the roster. It seemed like he checked out. He wasn't playing like Durin, some of the young guys, as much as they wanted him to. And now it seems like there's going to be a commitment, I guess, with Bickerstaff to playing the young guys. They don't really have any good vets. I mean, Malik Beasley is fine. He's okay. He should have been starting in Milwaukee. I mean, I don't even, again, this feels like Charlotte to me, although I think they, I like their young talent better than I like Charlotte's, honestly. But it feels like Charlotte, we're going to get to Washington. Like, this is just another awful team, right? Like, they, I mean, does this team win 25 games?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they do, especially if, like, there's any sort of injury issues with Cade, who I think is a good player now. Like, I just think that it's, and, you know, Durant is a good player now, too. And I think you're right that they're going to play him more and just commit to him playing, like, you know, a ton of minutes. Fontecchio's a great shooter. Stewart, you know, Isaiah Stewart is cool. I like some of their young guys, like Ron Holland, like the guys they took in this draft,
I like Holland,
Kobe Clintman.
Yeah.
You know, I like them individually, but they really needed shooting. And I guess, like, they sort of addressed that with Beasley and Hardaway and bringing back Fontecchio, you know, but, and they have Tobias Harris now, you know, so.
Oh, I forgot about that too, right? So that's, Tobias.
Everybody forgot about that, actually.
Empty calorie stats. Somebody told me, there was this great tweet, and it was about LeBron and Curry getting harassed, basically, in France, you know, by fans, etc. And somebody tweeted, this proves again, Tobias Harris is the exact right amount of fame you want to have. Mm. Like, you make a shitload of money, and you're never expected to do anything of any great merit.
Just never look at your mention.
Well, his were rough in Philly. Right. He might play well getting out of there, because again, Sixers fans like wanted him to be hurt the whole season. But
and
he has been
there before. They've had Tobias Harris. They know what to expect out of him, and there's no expectation for him now.
But it's just like he's exactly the kind of guy you would expect to go there, and there's going to be these empty calorie stats, and I just don't know what they're trying to accomplish overall, or how their front office has kept their jobs. Because if you look at it, like, they kind of started their rebuild around the same time as Houston and Orlando, and those teams seem so far ahead. And it's not like Cade Cunningham's a bad player. Like, he's not. It's just they have not been able to build anything there. Whereas you look at Orlando and what they're putting together with Wagner and with Paolo, and you look at Houston, and I think they overspent on both Dylan Brooks and Van Vliet, but you know, they were trying to get to the floor. But if you look at Houston, like, okay, there's a plan. Sengun, there's a plan there. Like, you can actually see what they're trying to accomplish. I just don't know what Detroit's trying to accomplish. JB's a good coach. He was kind of, I think, wrongly scapegoated in Cleveland for what happened there at the end. Mitchell was hurt. I mean, I don't think it's going to be great. All right, let's go to Indiana. So, I don't know. Detroit, D. I mean, again, I for irrelevant. I don't know. Indiana. Yeah, maybe. All right, so Indiana signed Wiseman to a multi-year contract. It was interesting. We'll see if he's a late bloomer.
A weird one.
Obi Toppin re-signed. Siakam, we knew they were going to re-sign him when they acquired him. And Nembhard signed a veteran extension. I like him.
Me too.
I like him. And, of course, they signed Cole Swider. Their big move was Siakam.
A plus.
Right, well, because of the Swider move.
Because of Cole Swider.
Their big move was Siakam. And they re-signed him. I'll give him a B-. I mean, look, the Toppin move that they made the year before, really, the offseason before, really worked.
Yep.
So maybe they hit on Wiseman. I like Kevin Pritchard as a GM. I think he does a pretty good job. Like, they're good at identifying pieces that can help them. They have a play style now. Carlisle's going to, you know, feed into that. They obviously, you know, exceeded expectations last year. They were not a true conference finals team, and they caught some breaks. I say B-. I was fine. Like, they didn't make significant ads, but if they hadn't re-signed Siakam, it would be a disaster after all they gave up. So that worked out okay.
Yeah, for sure.
That's kind of where
B-. Like, you know, they brought back the pieces they needed to. Like you said, Siakam was the move, and they're a team to be reckoned with. They're not maybe a championship contender, but like we already know, it's another team in the mix there for the Heat to battle with to get out of the play-in, because that's probably the reasonable goal this year for them.
Yeah, I think so too. All right. Speaking of which, next on the alphabetical order, the Miami Heat.
Oh man,
we haven't talked about this enough. It's interesting when you see the transactions, though. Okay, so July 1st, there was the guys that became free agents. Of course, Kevin Love re-signing, Thomas Bryant opting out, re-signing, Caleb Martin. The Heat offering to overpay him, basically. His agent saying, no, no, thanks. I'd rather take less money in Philadelphia and screwing up the whole thing. Let Patty Mills go. Let Cole Swider go. Let Jamal Cain go. Let Orlando Robinson go. Signing, we talked about the two ways a lot. Keyshawn Johnson. Drafting, of course, Ware and Larson. Alec Burke signing, which I'm fine with that signing as a minimum deal. Bam signing the extension, which, you know, we probably didn't talk about enough. Haywood Highsmith signing a contract. I thought it pretty good value. But with Heat fans, it's always about what they didn't do, right?
No doubt.
See? No doubt. See? I don't know.
I guess if you're saying C, then I guess I'm going to have to play the role of carrying the water here, because I was actually thinking B. And I don't know if that's like, you know, if I'm a shill for saying that, right? But I do think, like, you know, because we're so deep into this, right? So I'm going to be saying, like, things like, oh, I really enjoy what they did with their two-way guys. I enjoyed what they did with the draft. You know, those guys look good. Too. I think Jaquez, like, you know, he looks awesome. I'm excited for him and Jovic. So it's like those things, you know, make me feel like there's some upside for the season. I don't think, you know, it's going to be completely different from what we saw, you know, the past couple of years. Like, I think they're going to be right in that area again. But I do think when you look at the moves individually, they're fine, right? Like, I think bringing back Haywood on that deal to me is definitely a positive. Like, they got great value there. And I'm happy for Haywood that he got his deal. You know, the guy who's been fighting for his way through the NBA for years now. And I'm sure he's going to get paid with a nicer deal when this one's up, because he's really good and they needed him for, you know, what he does on defense. So, like, those moves are good to me. It's just, again, like, you can't give him an A because they didn't, you know, I don't think they had a home run transaction. I you know, they did good in the draft. They did good with their two-way guys. And that's kind of the most you can ask for at this point. I'm fine with Alec Burks. I can't even give him a B-plus because of the Thomas Bryant move. But, you know, bringing back K-Love, you know, that's
– I'm with you on that. I think B is fair. I think if they ended up with Tyus Jones instead of Thomas Bryant on that last one, I'd probably grade him up at least a couple of spots. C is probably unfair because I do like what the young players are showing. And so, I mean, that's a big part of their program now. And, you know, that's kind of the way that they operate, is that I've said this repeatedly, that the highest operating group right now is the group that's identifying college players. That's what they're doing best right now. Honestly. And it looks like they hit on Larson. We will see. It looks like they hit on Ware, even if it's going to take some time. And they added a couple of two-way guys. And again, the Josh Christopher just kind of, you know, seeing that through, looks like it may pay off eventually also. So, all right, maybe I was unkind. I'll say B minus.
But you can swear me to say B minus also, because they kind of got saved from themselves with the Caleb thing. And you know me, I was all for bringing back Caleb, like, for the past couple of years.
Yeah, but not at that number. Not at that number.
Exactly. So, and, you know, losing it for nothing sucked too. Like, they've lost these guys that have been important to them in the past couple of seasons with him, Gabe, and Max. But, you know, so maybe you could say B minus. I think B minus is actually.
I think that's right. I think if we grade him any higher, we're gonna get tomatoes thrown at us. So I don't want to go there. I'll also say this about it though, it's hard for me to grade him higher when we know that this league is about superstars, and right now we don't know the frame of mind of their superstar.
And that's the other thing. Like, so I think B minus because of the way they've handled the Jimmy thing. We'll see how it pans out, but it's just
right.
Everything is up in the air right now.
Right. I think some are going to say we're too charitable, and the Heat will say we're not taking enough into account. But I think B minus, C plus is probably where we land. All right, we got a couple more to get to. I knew we wouldn't be able to do this that quickly. But that's okay. So we go to Milwaukee. They signed DeLon Wright away from the Heat on a cheap contract. That's a guy that I would have liked to have seen come back. No more Patrick Beverley. No more Malik Beasley. Finally, after trading 6,000 second-round picks, no more Jay Crowder. The Gallinari experiment didn't work. Hopefully, the Heat are done with that at this stage. seen too much of that. They signed Taurean Prince. They signed Gary Trent, who I'm fine with that, like, for them. I don't know. I mean, they still have Doc Rivers. I'm going to mark him down for that.
B plus.
C plus, maybe?
I'm higher than you.
Yeah,
just because of what they had to work with as far as, like, ways to improve the roster. Like, it was very little to begin with. So when you just look at, like, who they lost versus who they got, I think it slightly upgraded. It's nothing, you know, needle moving. But, you know, like, Gary Trent to me is better than any of the guys they lost for sure. I think DeLon is a much better defender than Beverly was at this point in their careers. And, you know, that's what he does well, right? They wanted somebody who could do that next to Dame. That's exactly what he does well. They got, you know, again, these are not needle moving pieces, but that and Torian Prince can shoot the ball and is a wing size player, right? I think Darvin Ham probably played him too much on the Lakers, but, you know, he's a rotation level player, back end rotation level player who can play for you. You know, I think they had very little to work with to sign guys and, you know, they did a decent job. So I'll give him a B, maybe a B plus just for that. But it doesn't mean I think that this is going to swing a championship for them.
No, what has to do that is Dame playing at a higher level and Giannis staying healthy. But
and their defense and being like workable.
Well, I don't know if it will be because I think Brooke and Middleton have lost too much. But that's again, that's not.
DeLon will save him.
I like DeLon, but I wish that he'd have kept him. But yeah, these are small moves. All right, let's get to the Knicks. This is going to be a little bit controversial here. So Anunoby signs the multi-year contract, and then they make and. To me, they've got to be graded up because they got Brunson to basically leave $110 million on the table, something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he just decided to do it because he wanted to keep his Villanova guys there. But that's just a tremendous move. Like that's one of the biggest moves of the offseason is Brunson taking so much less money.
Yep.
But I hate the Bridges trade for them.
I don't hate it.
I just think it's too much. It's just too much.
No, they overpaid. I don't understand why it's even controversial because both things can be true at the same time. Like, it's a great fit on the floor. It's a fantastic fit. And obviously, like, they're going to have a certain level of chemistry and camaraderie and whatever. Like, all that is fine and dandy. I'm sure, you know, it's going to help. But he's a very good player. Like I mentioned earlier, I think he's going to be back in a good role for him because he's not going to be asked to be the number one guy, and a lot of times maybe not even number two because they've got Randall there still, who nobody mentions, but he's a good player. Like, for all his flaws, he's another good player and is probably like a more consistent scorer than Bridges a lot of times, especially like when you put all these guys together. I think Randall will probably end up getting more shots if he's still a starter. Bringing back OG was a great move for them. I think DiVincenzo and Hart, like, those guys have been fantastic for them. Mm-hmm. So, like, they've got a really nice team going. They did lose Hardenstein, so I guess you got to fault them for that. But they couldn't re-sign both, if I remember correctly, while also trading for Bridges. So I think
picking they also got Mitchell Robinson back, who was supposed to be the starter last year. So if he can stay healthy.
But I think ultimately picking OG over Hardenstein was the right move. And now basically they're just gonna have to hope that like Jericho Sims can be like playable for them.
Well, Precious was helpful to them last year, too. I know Heat fans don't want to admit that, but he actually had some decent minutes. But my thing about that roster, and I like all these players individually. I like Dirty Work, 3-and-D guys. So, I like the players in their roster.
They're going to be just very almost good, felt like, unfortunately.
But they're going to be good, but it felt to me a little like overkill. Like, you didn't need Mikal Bridges, like, because you have Anunoby and Hart. So I was kind of
it's a great addition, but you paid a superstar price. Again, for
a guy who's advocating superstar for you.
No, exactly. They absolutely overpaid, and it's a guy who, like, I advocated for him to be on Team USA over Derek White. Like, I recognize that he's a very good player.
I like him.
It's just they paid I'm trying to think what would be the equivalent. They paid the equivalent to if like Paolo was on the trading block right now, right? Like just a young, up and coming superstar.
Mikal Bridges was part of one of the trades for Durant. Would Durant command that much right now?
I don't know. I think he probably would, but it's just the age that would. That's why I was trying to think of somebody younger. Maybe Paolo is too young, somebody that's not on their rookie scale deal. But in general, I think it's a great basketball move for them. They just absolutely.
Here's this. Lauri Markkanen. If you were gonna have to and Utah's paid you Lauri Markkanen ultimately, right? Mm. I mean, to me, I'd pay more for Markkanen than Bridges.
I think so too. But I don't think he even would have gotten this much in return.
That's my point. It's like it's not that I don't like the player. I really like the player, but I'm looking at them and I'm saying, okay, Randall's coming back, and he's gonna eat up some shots. And so do you want Anunoby not contributing on offense at all? Because I feel like that's what's going to happen here is either Bridges or Anunoby is going to fade to the background completely.
I mean, Josh Hart and OG will be fading into the background.
Well, Hart will do that willingly. That's what I'm saying. Like, of all the teams that didn't need a Bridges-like player, it's them.
But I think Bridges is better than those guys. Like, he can score a little bit.
Yeah. Again, until you start to do it too much. So you may be right in returning him to more of a Phoenix role where he's like the third or fourth option instead of what he was trying to do with the Nets. His efficiency numbers may start to come up. Again, I'm not trying to hate on the Knicks here. People knew I grew up in New York, and I follow that franchise probably second. I'm not saying root for them. I'm saying I follow them probably second beyond the Heat. My nephews, my brother, they're all Knicks fans, okay? And they love the trade. And I get it, okay, to a certain point, but I'm just saying, and I guess it doesn't matter. Those first round picks don't matter this year if the thing works. I mean, but I'll say this, that they better get to a finals one of the next 2 years. I mean, with everything that they gave up, they better beat Boston. Like that's what they, and look, Heat fans will come at me and say, well, look, this is what the Heat should have been doing under the Jimmy Butler era, is going all in. So I'm not going to bang them too much for it.
And they have a team kind of built to play with Boston now, match up with Boston with all these wings. And Brunson is a playoff proven player. Like, I think they've got something going there. I wouldn't bet on them to win a championship.
And the Celtics are in the second apron. Celtics are in the second apron, too. So they can't really do a lot to that roster. So the Knicks, they've been proven willing to spend. They've given up the future picks. I'm going to grade them a B just for the Brunson contract alone. I can't go lower than that. But the Bridges move to me was curious. Doesn't mean it won't work, but it was just curious based on what they already had. All right, so let's go next. I believe next on our list is this your favorite franchise to talk about. No, actually not quite yet. The Orlando Magic. Franz Wagner signed a rookie scale extension. KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, signed a multi-year contract coming over from Denver. Of course, won a championship. He won a couple championships, one with the Lakers and one with the Nuggets. Mo Wagner signed a multi-year contract. Gary Harris signed a multi-year contract. Jonathan Isaac signed an extension. They didn't really lose much. Fultz, I guess, would be the one guy. Joe Ingles wasn't really playing for them at his age. What did you say? I mean, I give him at least a B+ because I love the KCP move for them.
I'm with you. I think that's absolutely fair. You could even say A- just because that's the type of move they needed. I'm not saying it's going to be the ultimate needle mover, but they needed a player like that. And I liked, you know, some of the stuff that Fultz did, but going from him to KCP is absolutely an upgrade. It's a guy who's won, you know, been a starter on two championship teams for a reason. He can still really defend, you know, can still shoot the ball. And now he's going to, you know, torture the Heat in their division. So it's a good move for them. And I think just keeping those guys and that young core going and kind of solidifying that core, you know, it's a positive offseason for them. And I like, by the way, their pick. They drafted Tristan Da Silva, who a lot of us liked.
A lot of us liked him for the Heat. All right,
he was really good at Summer League.
Philadelphia, I'm giving an A. I hate to do this to you. Sorry. Paul George, a better player for them than James Harden. And if you're going to trace – I'm a Paul George guy, though. Like, I just – and I'm not a Harden guy. People know that. So I'm a little biased here. But if you just trace the moves that they made, you know, they needed a piece to replace Harden. We saw that last year. A lot of it was Embiid breaking down. But to get Paul George, who was the target, beyond that, Oubre re-signs on a multi-year contract. I'll get to Caleb in a second. I like the Drummond signing for them, actually, because Embiid's going to miss time. And you can actually play Drummond at that spot. Maxey signs the extension. We kind of knew that was going to happen. Eric Gordon can still shoot the ball a little bit, not like he used to, but he'll provide some minutes for them. And you mentioned Caleb. Like, I wouldn't have liked the Caleb contract that Miami offered him, but I like the contract Philadelphia offered him, and he will help them. I just think... To me, they're the biggest threat to Boston. I think they're a bigger threat to Boston than the Knicks are.
I
don't trust Embiid staying healthy, but I like the mix. Paul George can do all the in-between things. He's a superstar. He was a superstar, but he also he can do dirty work things if you need him to. And I just think he's a great connector. He knows how to play. He's got high basketball IQ. He's played in a ton of big games. I know in some postseasons he has not come through, and others he has. But I don't know. I think Morey, and I hate to say it because I'm not a huge fan of his, but I think he did great work. It's a very good offseason for them.
For sure. For sure. I would probably say A minus, but that's just like, you know, like I'm being overly picky there, but they had a great offseason. There's no doubt about it. Like, I think Paul George is a, you know, for all the jokes and stuff, that's a great addition for them to be able to just add him to what they have. You know, now that Maxey has, you know, Maxey's a much better player now than he was when Harden was there. So they're going to be a problem. I probably like the Knicks just as a matchup more for Boston, just because I think they have something that it can be an elite defense. I got to see it first with the Sixers. I think they're going to be a very good regular season team, because even if Paul George has injury issues, right, like I think they have enough to get them through. But, you know, Caleb and Oubre are kind of the main wings that are going to be playing minutes for them, along with Eric Gordon, of course. You know, bringing back Lowry is fine for them at the minimum. I think they should have tried to bring back DeAnthony Melton, who they lost to the Warriors, because I think Melton is just better than Lowry at this point and a great guard defender. But that's like a small thing, you know. Overall, great offseason for them. Hate to say it. I think Jared McCain and Adam Bona, like, I think those were solid picks for them.
They've got a nice 10-man roster.
Yeah, Reggie Jackson now.
Up and down with Denver. He shouldn't have been in a rotation last year, but I think they're good. I think they're really. But again, everything comes down to, does Embiid stay healthy? And also, you know, I mean, is Embiid, are you going to get out of the second round with Embiid? If he can't get them to a conference finals, and I know draw plays into this, but if he can't get them to a conference finals with what they put around it, we got to have some serious conversations, because I like what you do. All right, two more teams to go here. Not a lot to talk about with Toronto. What is Masai doing?
They pivoted. It's a full pivot. Like, I think this is what it's kind of, you know, again, like what we were talking about with the Hawks and the Bulls. It's these teams that we've been talking about for the past couple of seasons. Like, they need to make a decision. All these teams have pivoted towards the younger core to a different extent, of course. Like, the Hawks, not all the way. The Bulls, not all the way, because they have some of those guys that can put up points for you still. And Trae Young is still a really good player, all that. The Raptors, it's a full pivot. Other than Scottie Barnes, like, they've got just a young core there. And, you know, they made a few picks. I think they had four picks in this draft. And I overall like what they did as far as that, right? Like, they're just stocking up on the young core around Scottie, because they really needed to make a decision there. So for that, I guess I'll give them a B minus.
And they're going to be bad this year. We know that, right? Yeah, like, again, that's not how we're necessarily grading them, but throw them in the mix with the next team we're going to talk about, as well as Charlotte, Detroit, and Brooklyn.
Which means they'll win the games in Miami.
They might. But there are going to be five really bad teams in the East. This is why I'm saying, like, when he fans want them to bottom out, like, you can't. Not only won't you, you can't. Like, you're not going to get below. Like, worse, like, the floor for the Heat is the ninth or tenth spot in the play-in. It's not what they should be shooting for, obviously. Like, I mean, this organization should be shooting for top four seeds, but they can't be worse than that with some of these teams. Well, the quickly extension I was fine with, like you said, it's a pivot around Scottie Barnes. They probably win 27 to 28. 29 games this year, something along those lines, which, again, may be the best of some of these teams that we're talking about. But again, it's not, they're not going to be a factor here for at least a couple of years. That's pretty clear. All right. The last one, and this franchise hasn't been a factor for a long time. The Wizards. I don't even know what to do with this. They acquired Valanciunas. Right, for a conditional pick. Like, I guess he's just going to eat up innings there at the center spot.
They'll probably flip him.
But, well, I think that was suggested, that they would flip him by February. They gave up, Avdija. Is that, am I pronouncing that correct? We spent the whole episode talking about it. Thank you very much, Avdija. To the Blazers, Brogdon, the rights to Bob Carrington. A second-round pick, a first-round pick, a second-round pick. We kind of went in on Cronin for that. I think that Washington got good value, you know, for a player that we like, actually. They let Tyus Jones go, ended up signing for a minimum. Landry Shamet, they let go. Sadiq Bey, they signed. I mean, I don't know. Like, what is this? Like, I know you think they're going to be, like, fun to watch in some ways.
No. Whoa. I did not say all
did
that.
Did you say that? Did Brady say that? What do you guys say that? I can't remember. But
I'm going to give them a B just because, like, it's similar thinking as far as, like, just trying to solidify a young core, another team that is just going to be terrible. I don't think they're going to be fun to watch. But I did like some of their picks. Like, I think despite Alex Starr having an awful summer league, that I'm not out on him as a good player. Like, I think that's something to still be looking forward to. Doesn't mean he's gonna be awesome year one, but you know, if you're a Wizards fan, I think you should be excited still about Alex Starr. I think, you know, getting Bob Carrington there as part of the Denny Avdija trade, I think is good for them. I think they just got good value, like you said, on that trade. And you know, getting the UM kid Kyshawn George with their, like, third pick, right, I think is good. Like, I think there was some questions about him, but again, as their third pick, like, that's solid. So I think that's just another team trying to stock a bunch of young guys and see who works out there. And yeah, now, and they also have Malcolm Brogdon now. So there's that.
Here's, you know, as I said, we would do these in 15 minutes. We're at minute 48. I'll just put this into some perspective. We'll get to the West in another episode. But I think what you see is Philadelphia cashed in to a certain degree and got better. The Knicks cashed in. We'll see. I'm sort of in a wait and see with them. But that's really where this is right now. It's like Philadelphia and New York are taking their shot at Boston, and Milwaukee is kind of hovering. But again, I don't like the what's around those two guys. I think the foundation.
Orlando and Indiana are definitely good too.
And Orlando and Indiana are good. And who am I missing here? I mean, that's pretty much. And then you sort of have
it. And then the Heat, and that's it.
And then the Heat. And you know, and we think Atlanta and Chicago are sort of half in, half out, as you mentioned, where they're. I mean, can we just pencil in the Hawks and the Bulls?
They might make it by default.
I mean, the 9 and 10 play-in spots. Like, they're always in the 9 and 10 play-in spots, right? Like, this was going to be the Hawks and the Bulls again. Yeah. And I hate to say it, but the Heat might be in that 7th spot or that 8th spot.
To wrap this up, who are the Heat more likely to lose to in a play-in game with the way they're built now, the Hawks or the Bulls?
It's always the Bulls, I think. Isn't it?
It's funny.
You can't see Kobe White having a game?
Yeah, no.
They know what to do with Trey. Like, they know what to do with Trey. Like, they know what to do. They'll just find another Gabe Vincent to shut him down.
That's Haywood, man. Haywood's going to, oh, my God, give him problems.
All right, so everybody's going to get upset at us, I think, for rating the Heat too high, probably, our fan base, right? Giving them a B- in offseason.
Yeah, they want us to be outraged.
Yeah, they didn't. I don't think the Heat got worse this offseason. I know they lost Caleb, but I think there's enough improvement in some of the young players that I don't think they got worse. The question is, can you compete in a conference where it's clear that Philadelphia got better? Most people think the Knicks got better and the Celtics didn't get worse. And Orlando is probably going to be better. Just oh, we didn't mention Cleveland, and Cleveland stayed intact, and Orlando is going to get internal development, and they added KCP, who's a great connecting piece for some of these guys. I just think it got a little steeper for the Heat to climb up the top six.
Yeah, like
the bottom of the conference fell apart.
Yeah, no, the bottom is just completely collapsed. Like, there's almost no middle class in the NBA now. Like, everybody just like there's a couple of great teams at the top, and then some good teams, and then just a bunch of terrible teams. I mean, you know, this is the result of parity, right? And I think for better or for worse, I think for better, in my opinion, like the NBA is a lot of parity. And, you know, that might be worse for the Heat, right? Like you mentioned, just because, you know, in years past, you know, during the Big Three era, you had to worry about a couple of teams. Now you got to worry about a few, right? And I think that's what it has come down to here. And the Heat still look like they can be a playing team, even though I think they might, there's a chance they win more games than they did last season, I think. Because of the young guys.
Yeah, well, like you said, the East has kind of become our country. There's just no middle class at this point. So something we'll be debating until November. All right, thank you, Alex. We appreciate it. Thanks to our sponsors, Water Cleanup of Florida. By the time that this episode was over, the leak you had in your home or business has expanded and is now engulfing your entire property.
So just like the Eastern Conference in the Heat.
Perfect. WCUFL.com. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.